Hey, you got your Bible this morning? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to continue today in our series, First Things First. And the big idea behind this series is just the call from God for us as the people of God to place and keep Him first in our lives in the midst of all the things that we have going in on our life. Just receiving the blessing that comes to those who put and keep God first in our lives. And our key scripture has been found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, 34. And it says this in the New King James translation. It says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For all these things, or after all these things, rather, the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Come on, say all things. Listen, it's the heart of a good father saying, "If you will put and keep me first, just watch how I bless your life. And all the things, all the stuff, all the ways that the world is worrying, striving to gain things, striving to provide for themselves, if we will put God first, He is a good father who loves to take care of His children." And this morning, that same passage popped up on my Bible app in the Message translation. And I just thought it was timely, and timely enough that I thought I would share it with you. And in the Message translation, that same scripture says this. And it says, "If God gives such attention to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which are never seen, just don't you think He'll attend to you? Take pride in you and do His best for you." What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Come on, look at your neighbor, say relax. Yes. To not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. There's a contrast there. That's what even the New King James translation was saying, that there's people that are worried about getting things instead of just trusting God to provide for us as His people. And it says, "People who don't know God and the way that He works fuss over these things. But you who know God, both God and how He works, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up over what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." Come on, that sounds like a good promise from a good father right there, amen? It's the heart of a good father. It's the heart of a good father to provide for his children as we put and keep him first in our lives. But for us, hear me, people of God, it's about priority. All the things that God's called us to do, all the responsibilities, all the things of life, the job, the kids, the schedule, all the commitments, most of them good. It's about priority. In the midst of those things, making a determination and a decision to say, "I will put and keep God first in my life and trust Him to provide for me in a way that I can never do on my own strength." Amen? Here's the way that we've said it. When we put God first, we get God's best. Listen, not just the things that we need, not just the temporal things that we need, because there's things we really need, clothing, food, shelter, those things that we have need of. But when we put God first, we get God's best, not just the temporal things, but the things that we need to live the abundant life of Jesus Christ. The grace, the empowerment, the forgiveness, the mercy, the peace, the love that we cannot manufacture enough of in our own strength. We need it to come from God. And listen, at Rev City, we're passionate. Listen, I as your pastor, I am passionate about seeing every one of you live in the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Don't you know that that's what He came to give us? He said, "I've come to give life." In John chapter 10, the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but He said, "I have come that you might have life." But it wasn't a strong enough way to say it. And He went on and said, "and life abundantly." Another translation said, "life to the fullest." And listen, I'm passionate about seeing you guys live that kind of life, about seeing us live that kind of life. And so all throughout this series, the question is, what are our priorities? And the other question is, what can God bless? What can God really bless? How do we live in a way that it gets God's attention and it positions and postures us to receive and walk in the blessing of God? Because how many of you know, regardless of whether we put and keep God first in our life, He's first. He's first. He's above all. There's no one like Him. There's no one above Him. So it's really about us aligning ourselves and prioritizing our life in a way that positions and postures us to receive the best from a good Heavenly Father. Amen? Recently, I've been just taking notes and preparing some things for some discipleship we're doing in the fall. And the Lord just, I believe He gave me five F's that I want to begin to share with you guys that the Lord's called us to live. This is the life that God intends for us to live. And number one is forgiveness, that we would receive forgiveness. Number two is that we would connect to a family. Number three, that we would discover freedom, what it means to live in freedom, what it means for God to heal us from the pain of our past and those things that the enemy comes to try to put upon our shoulders, to hinder us and to keep us from living in the fullness of God's joy and God's peace and God's provision. Four is that we would be strengthened in our faith. And five, that we would begin to be moving forward to fulfill God's purposes for our life. And I want to bring a message to you this morning that I believe is tied to finding freedom. And I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of forgiveness and the danger of unforgiveness. And as a pastor, perhaps there's not one issue that I see that keeps people from living in and experiencing and enjoying the fullness of the joy of the Lord than harboring unforgiveness towards someone else. Perhaps not one other issue that I see that single-handedly trips people up or hinders them or holds them back or causes them to live beneath the abundant life that Jesus made possible for them than when we walk in unforgiveness. Listen, I want to encourage you this morning with what God's word has to say about this, and it's really clear that this is important to God. And this is tucked into First Things First, because you're going to see as we go through God's word this morning that there's a mandate from God because of the forgiveness that he's extended to us to forgive others so that we can walk in the forgiveness of God. Matthew chapter 5, actually, I told you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and you can stay there, but just one chapter before, in verse 23 and 24, it says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar." And then here's that word, first. First go and be reconciled to them, then come back and offer your gift. God's saying there's a lot of things you can do for me, there's a lot of things you can give to me, but if you are harboring unforgiveness, it's going to cut off the flow of my ability to bless you. He said, first go and take care of that. Put that, we're talking about first things first. First, forgive. Then come back and give. So let's pray and ask God to just minister to us this morning and strengthen us and reveal things to us. Lord, we just are so thankful, so grateful for the forgiveness that you've extended to us, Lord, which is the reason that we're gathered in this place as your family today, God. And Lord, we thank you that your heart today towards us as your people is to heal us and strengthen us and deepen, Lord, our revelation of who we are in you, Lord, and what we have access to through you. And Lord, we pray that you would just this morning prepare our hearts to receive your word, whether it's a reminder or a new revelation, God, that we would be prepared to receive it today and begin to walk it out in a way that positions us and postures us, Lord, to live and walk in the fullness of your blessing, that abundant life that Jesus spoke of, Lord, that today, more than ever, we would be prepared to experience it and enjoy it and walk it out and share it with others. Lord, any of us who are here this morning and we're weak or we're wounded or we're weary or we're tired or we're hungry or we're thirsty, Lord, thank you that you are a good Father. And I pray today, Lord, that you would come and do what only you can do, Lord. Touch lives, change hearts, soften hearts, Lord, heal hearts, and equip us, God, to walk out this faith that you've called us to in Jesus' mighty name. And come on, all God's people said, amen. All right, if you're there in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. And here's what I want to do this morning. I want us to read this aloud together. Not you repeating after me, but all of us reading this together. Amen. Verse 9 in chapter 6. And come on, let's read this together. It says, "Pray then in this way." Oh, let's see where I'm at. Verse 9, yeah. "Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And come on, the church said aloud, amen. 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 Now, here's the verse that we often separate from this. Here, the next verse or two are the verses that don't make it onto the refrigerator magnet or the bumper sticker or the arm bracelet or the camp t-shirt. But this is the very next verse to the Lord's Prayer. And he says this, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Come on, that's heavy. And maybe there's a reason we don't hear it preached about very often. It's maybe not an easy topic to preach about. You say, well, aren't we forgiven by the blood of Jesus? Well, yes, we are. But you know what I think God is saying? I think he's saying the price I paid to forgive you is so extravagant. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I believe God's saying, I have paid such a high price to cover every sin, every failure, every shortcoming, every misstep. And I've given that freely to you. Now my heart is to see you as my sons and my daughters covered and walking in the fullness of the freedom of my forgiveness, to be quick to forgive others, to walk out, to live out, to be an expression of what you've experienced from me to the people around you in your life. Isn't that powerful? Listen, here's what we can take away. God takes forgiveness very seriously. God takes it very seriously. And listen, here's the other thing. In the life of a believer, come on, that's you and me. It really isn't optional. We really don't have a choice. I mean, that isn't that powerful what that says? If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you do not forgive, my Father in heaven will not forgive you. Listen, our own forgiveness is tied to our ability and our willingness. Because we all have the ability. Really, it comes down to, are we willing to forgive? We've all prayed that prayer for many years growing up, the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know that we've ever caught the gravity of this, though. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If you look up that word as, this is an important word. The word as, if you look up the Webster's Dictionary definition of it, the word as, the very top definition, there's many of them, but the very top definition under Webster's Dictionary is this, and it's really simple: to the same degree or amount. So insert that definition into that prayer. Father, forgive me my sins to the same degree or amount that I forgive those who have sinned against me. God will give us as much grace, I mean radical grace, abundant grace. Where sin abounds, come on, you need to hear this morning, grace abounds much more. He'll give us as much grace as we're willing to give away. That's what he's saying. Listen, this is important to God. Walking in forgiveness is important to God, and it's a priority for us. It's got to be one of the first things that we learn to focus on as a believer. How many know that sometimes forgiving someone can be really, really hard? Come on, who's experienced it? Come on, don't leave me on an island up here. That forgiving someone, expressing this, come on, walking this out. It might be very simply and plainly stated in God's word, but just because it's simple doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Amen? Amen? Sometimes it can be very difficult, but here's the thing. What seems impossible for man is possible, how? With God. And God's able to allow us and strengthen us to express forgiveness, even in difficult situations. And listen, that's one of the number one challenges to forgiveness. And I just want to cover some of these things to just help you see and help it be real to you that this isn't something that is improbable. This isn't something that is impossible. This is something that is possible if we'll allow God to grace us to do it. But one of the number one challenges to forgiveness is that it's always required in a situation where you really are hurt. That's the number one challenge. They really did this to me, Pastor T. And it really caused real hurt, real pain, real disappointment, real rejection. They really did this to me. Listen, there are some situations in life that we have a part in creating for ourselves. You know what I mean. Just bad choices, bad decisions. But there are other things that happen to us in life that we never deserved, could not have expected. We never could have foreseen this happening. And a lot of times it happens at the hands of someone who was intended to be a blessing in our life. Someone that should have been a source of protection, friendship, provision. And the betrayal happens. And it's a setup from the enemy for unforgiveness to begin to root its way into our heart in a way that keeps us from walking in the fullness of God's blessing. They really did this to me. Abuse, neglect, betrayal, infidelity, rejection. Listen, here's what I'm establishing. In this life, Jesus said, offenses will come. In this life, you're going to have to deal with real issues, real violations, real abuses. You will experience those kinds of things in life. And when that happens, you have two choices. Allow the enemy to come in and create a root of bitterness in your heart towards that person or towards God or towards the church or whoever it is that it's pointed to, towards your parents, towards your coworker, towards your spouse. Or to seek God's word and to live in the freedom that comes with extending the forgiveness of God. Listen, those are the moments, those real pain, real turmoil, real abuse, real betrayal. Those are the moments that forgiveness was created for. They really did this, Pastor T. They really hurts. It's true. And it might be difficult, but with God, the things that seem impossible are possible. Number two, that they aren't sorry, Pastor T, or they haven't asked for my forgiveness. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Here we have that word again, the word as. Forgive in the same manner, in the same degree that the Lord has forgiven you. And you know, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says it so plainly and says it this way. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were still up to our antics. We had not realized the error of our ways. We were still up to our shenanigans. And even in that moment, Jesus came. And he expressed the ultimate act of forgiveness. So the call to us is to forgive as Christ has loved us, to the same degree, in the same manner that Christ forgave us. Come on, he was hanging on the cross. It wasn't even finished, and he was already saying, Father, forgive them. In the middle of the act, they hadn't said they were sorry. They hadn't come groveling asking for forgiveness. Standard to extend forgiveness for us as a believer is not the expression of remorse from the people who violated us. It's the example of Jesus Christ who hung on that cross while we were still sinners and opposed to him. Number three, if I forgive them, Pastor T, it's going to release them of their responsibility for this thing that they did to me. Listen, can I tell you? I knew that one was going to hit home with somebody. Listen, forgiveness does not release them of their responsibility. Forgiveness does not release. Our willingness to extend forgiveness does not release them of their responsibility to make things right. It releases us from carrying the responsibility to make things right. Listen, it doesn't release them. It releases us. Listen, extending forgiveness doesn't make them right. It makes you free. And there's still a responsibility. Listen, I can express complete forgiveness to you, and you still might be going to jail. I knew that would hit home with someone too. Pastor T, if I forgive them, they really did this. They really need to make it right. Expressing forgiveness doesn't make it right. It just makes you free. And listen, that's the heart of God. Calling us to be a people who quickly forgive, living in freedom, not allowing the thing that they said or the thing that they did to have power over me. If it's incumbent upon them to come and apologize or them to do their part, I've put the power upon them, and I'm taking it back. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm forgiving them proactively. There's not a responsibility that they have to come and make it right. I'm going to proactively forgive them, not because it makes them right, because it makes me free. Listen, this is a good standard to know if I've really fully forgiven. Do I still fret, worry, or carry the anxiety of wondering two things? One, when they're finally going to come and make it right. Or two, when they're finally going to get what's coming to them. I knew that one was going to hit home with some folks too. Come on, how many of you have ever pictured someone driving off of a cliff, you know? Have you? Come on, we're getting real. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's keeping it real. He's keeping it real. Listen, I'm talking about real problems, real offenses, real betrayal. Am I still carrying the fret, the worry, the anxiety? Am I wondering when are they going to finally come and make this right? Or two, when are they finally going to get what's coming to them? In Romans chapter 12, in verse 14 says this, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Oh, this is so hard to do. Verse 17, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Everyone, God, are you sure? Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Come on, get him, God. That's what I pray. When I'm in my flesh. But it's true. It says the scriptures say, This is the heart of God. I'll take revenge. I'll pay them back, says the Lord. Listen, vengeance belongs to God. And can I tell you? He always does a better job than we can. But better doesn't mean what you have in mind. Necessarily. Did you know that we see people through the filter of what they've done to us? And God sees them not just through the filter of what they've done to us, but God sees them through the filter of what was done to them. The adult that lashed out at you or betrayed you or whatever, God sees the moment in their childhood when they were abused. Something entered in that they've been dealing with and struggling with and battling against for years. When we release them, when we forgive them, rather, it doesn't make them right. It just makes us free, and it releases God to be the one who deals with them. And I don't know about you, but that's a heavy burden to carry. I'm not smart enough. And here's the thing is, and I'll mess it up. I'll be heavy-handed. I'll do something. Turn it over to God. Release it to God. Doesn't make them right. It just makes us free. Leave that to God. God will take revenge. God will pay them back, says the Lord. And it says, instead of doing that, which comes so easy to us, ooh, we want to get them. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame upon their head. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Listen, if God's word's going to address it, you better believe it's going to be a challenge that we're going to face. We tend to want to lash out, punish, or penalize, but God's word says it so clearly. Do not return evil with evil. Instead, overcome evil with good. But come on, it's hard. I mean, whenever I've been violated, here's some common things that I feel. These are common attitudes and actions that are associated with unforgiveness. Number one is slander. I'll forgive you. But by golly, every person that I have the opportunity to tell is going to get an earful about how big of a dirty old dog you really are. I forgive you. But every chance I have, someone's going to hear about what you did and who you really are. Number two, withholding affection or attention. Come on, we could call this being passive aggressive. That the things that I know will be a blessing to you, I begin to withhold my attention, my affection, my affirmation. And in the place where I would normally extend those things to you, I begin to look to say or to do the things that I know will cause you harm or pain. Number three, hoping for someone's demise. Come on, I mentioned it earlier. Envisioning them driving off the cliff in a big ball of fire. God, that's what they deserve. Aren't you glad that God didn't give you what you deserved? So here's some steps to help us to be empowered. Again, we need a grace from God. We got to get this from God. We cannot do this in our own strength. In my own flesh, I operate in all those things and then some. Come on, we could put a lot of other attitudes and actions on that list. We got to get this from God. So steps to help us to receive the grace of God to express and extend forgiveness, which is freedom for us. Come on, let me encourage you with something. Extending forgiveness is one of the most self-loving things you can ever do. Holding and harboring unforgiveness, I've heard it said this way, and it really resonates with me, is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts the other person. God's heart to say, forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. He's trying to keep us from ending up in a pit. So steps to help us forgive. Number one, remember our tremendous need for forgiveness, both from God and from people. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Come on, just go a few books to the right there. From Matthew chapter 6 to Matthew chapter 18. Here's another amazing passage expressing and underlining the importance of forgiveness. Come on, how many of you just feel it in your spirit how important this message is to the life that God's called us to live? Come on, to the freedom and to the joy that God wants us to live in. I just saw a husband trying to forcefully raise his wife's hand. I don't know that I've ever seen that in church, but that was awesome. I'm not calling him out, but it was awesome. That was funny. I know it was probably half joking too, but because I know the people and they're amazing people. All right. You know who you are. Steps to help us forgive. Remember our need for forgiveness from God and from people. Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came up to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And you know, Peter had a way of putting his foot in his mouth, and I think he thought he was really going to impress Jesus when he said, up to seven times. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And he goes on, and he just to underline, he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, come on, that's a lot of gold, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity upon him and canceled the debt and let him go free. Come on, that's good news right there. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. But when that servant went out free and forgiven, his debt removed, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Come on, that's nothing in comparison to what he owed. And he grabbed him and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused, and instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the entire debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in, you wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Just as, there's the word again, in the same manner and to the same degree that I had upon you. And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Come on, that's heavy. Steps to have the grace and the courage to extend forgiveness to others. Remember the forgiveness that you required for yourself. Well, sometimes it's not a bad idea to just, from a posture of just gratitude, to just allow yourself to imagine what your life would look like if not for Jesus. Not to get stuck and kind of reliving and rehashing out or condemnation or anything like that, but I mean the kind of remembrance that causes you to be radically grateful to a God who covered every one of your sins. Come on, every moment in the dark. Every dark place in your heart, every word, every step, every action that violated God or hurt someone else, God has completely forgiven you. Psalm 103, verse 8 through 12 said, the Lord is compassionate and he's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. Come on, aren't you glad? He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Come on, aren't you glad? Or repay us according to our iniquities, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. You know what's amazing? is that it says east to what, east from the west and not north from the south. Because what we now know, since this has been written, is that you can measure north to south, but you can't measure east to west. There's a North Pole and there's a South Pole, and we know the exact distance between those two places. That's not what God chose to say. That's still pretty far, by the way. He said, as far as the east is from the west, it's impossible for you to even calculate it. That's how far I've removed your sin from you. And now I'm calling you to forgive others as I've forgiven you in the same manner, to the same degree, so that you can live fully free. Out from under the weight that comes from harboring, out from under the resentment and the bitterness and the things that happen when we hold on to those things that God's saying, let it go, release it to me. I've forgiven you, forgive them too. How can we find the grace to forgive? Remember how much forgiveness we've required and how much forgiveness we'll still require. Number two, go beyond forgiveness to blessing. Blow out the middle ground. Stop camping on that fence of forgive them so fully that you not only release them from the penalty or the punishment or the judgment that you might even feel entitled to hold against them, to the point where you begin to bless them. How many of you know that Jesus didn't come to die just to get us to zero balance? He said, I came to pay the price for your sins, but that wasn't enough. I now have come to give you abundant life, every good and perfect thing, spiritual blessings, spiritual gifts, abundance of blessing. Some of us are struggling to forgive that person, and maybe we're struggling with it because we haven't really fully embraced the call of God, which is not just to barely scrape by or barely summon the grace to forgive them, but to go beyond that where we can begin to spiritually bless them. God, I bless them. That thing that they did, that hurting people hurt people. That thing that they said, I understand that they're just acting out because of things that happened in their life, and it doesn't make them right, and it doesn't release them. It just releases me from being the one that has to carry this weight around on my back. Real problems, real trials, real offenses. Come on. God wants to grace you to release it today. And a few years ago, I was at a meeting with a group of pastor friends, and we were all kind of related to the same network of churches and spiritual family. And one of the pastors shared a testimony. I was aware that they had been through this, but I never had heard them share personally about it. It's a pastor from California who, he and his wife had a son, 33 years old, who was murdered. A son who had just recently been ordained to join the church that they led as their youth pastor. And one evening, as he was driving home, a carload of youth guys that he had gone to pick up before the youth group that night and brought them to church and loved on them and preached the word to them and encouraged them and loaded them back up in his car and was driving them back to their homes all across Pomona, California. And a Crip gang member saw a car filled with Hispanics and emptied his gun into the car, and three bullets hit their mark, and this young man, so filled with promise and potential, lost his life on this side of eternity that night. Senseless. Tragic. I mean, you talk about something that was undeserved. I mean, a young man who was striving to make a difference in his community, going out and bringing kids off the mean streets and bringing them into the house of God. I don't get it. But as much as it causes me, can you imagine the anguish of a mom and a dad seeing a young man who had so much of his future ahead of him, his future marriage, his future children, the ministry that God was leading him to and blessing him with, to have his life snuffed out like that for something so senseless? Pastor David tells a story, and he's talked about how for a year and a half they had no suspects, and a year and a half later they found the person who did it, and then a year and a half of delays, and finally a trial that led to a plea. 33 years. Pastor David tells a story about how they had the opportunity at the invitation of the judge to speak in the courtroom to the young man who had taken the life of their son, and they're looking across the room, and can you imagine the emotions, and can you imagine the struggle, the intensity of the struggle of doing what you know God has called you to do and saying what you really want to say? And David shares so candidly. He said, there was a word that I wanted to say more than anything I've ever wanted to say. I wanted to curse this in my flesh. In that moment, I didn't know how I would feel, but I wanted to. But he shares the testimony. He said, but instead, I found a different F word, and I said, I forgive you. I forgive you. We, our family, my wife and I and our other kids, we forgive you. In the name of Jesus. And he went on to tell how the power of that forgiveness, and he even began to interact on behalf of the young men to limit the sentence that he would get. Come on, I don't know if I would be able to do it. And not only that, but then they realized that this young man who had committed this senseless act of violence was now going to be incarcerated for up to 33 years, and he was leaving his own kids fatherless. And so they went and they began to visit his family to provide school supplies and Christmas gifts for the kids of the man who murdered their own son. I don't know that I could do it. It's an extreme example, but it's the call of God. I believe they had a choice. They could have camped out and just become ensnared by all the bitterness and the hatred and the anger and the hopelessness and the why God. They made a decision. They had a decision. Come on, we have a decision. And I'm telling you, we've been through some difficult things, and there will be some difficult things to come. But just, I draw strength from that testimony whenever I run into something. Man, if someone could experience that and find the grace of God to not just forgive, but to now regularly go into that prison to minister to and meet with, they basically adopted that young man as their own son. Lord, how much more can I find the grace to express forgiveness and not just express forgiveness, but find a way, come on, to do what your word calls me to do. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Expressing forgiveness doesn't make it right. It just makes us free. The heart of God is for us to live in freedom. Come on, stand to your feet this morning, people of God. And I know this is a heavy message in a lot of ways because it resonates so intently. There's not one person in this room who doesn't have a reason to be offended. There's not one person in this room that there's not someone or something that's happened to you that you might even feel justified to hold on to. And I'm telling you this morning, the heart of God, I really believe as we close in ministry here and respond into worship, is for right now, today, God to reveal, for the Lord to reveal some of those things that have been heavy weights. I mean, that thing that you've been holding on to. Come on, right there. I just want every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't do that often, but I just feel this morning. Just really want you to focus, and I really want you to posture yourself to receive, to hear from God this morning. What is that thing? What is that place? What is that situation? Who is that person that in some way, somehow, maybe there's a way that you've been harboring unforgiveness. Maybe you've expressed forgiveness, but you realize that you're still doing some of those actions or those attitudes of speaking negatively or hoping for their demise or withholding attention or affection or affirmation or whatever it looks like for you. But Lord, we thank you that today, I say this often, but it's really true. Whenever God reveals something, he wants to heal something. And today, the heart of God is to show us these things so that we can leave them in this place and leave them in this moment. And listen to me, people of God, leave this place more free than maybe you've been in a long time. That's the heart of God. He doesn't call us to do this as just a responsibility or a religious requirement. He does this because he understands that holding on to these things is toxic to our soul. And so, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, that you would give us grace to forgive. And come on, if right there where you are, if God's just reminding you, come on, there might be some really big, substantial things, grievances and offenses, or maybe there's something real trivial that happened. Come on, all those kind of things and anything in between. if there's something that the Lord's just reminding you of this morning, and something that God's gracing you this morning in a fresh way or a new way to release to Him, to express the kind of forgiveness that lays it down and trusts God for the outcome. Come on, just lift it up before the Lord. Just lift it up before God. This is the posture of presenting something before God. It's also the posture of receiving something back from God. And Lord, we thank you today that we're presenting that person. We're presenting those words. We're presenting that situation before you. And Lord, thank you that you would grace us today to be reminded of how much you've forgiven us and to have the strength and the courage to release them, God, and to just entrust it to you, God. It doesn't make them right, but today it's making us free. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for that, God. Come on, just continue. If that's you this morning, just stay in that posture of just releasing and receiving today. And this morning, if you're here and you've realized that you need to receive that forgiveness that I'm speaking of this morning, that is the reason that we're gathered here together as a church family this morning. That's the reason, it's the pathway into God's kingdom, into God's house, is forgiveness. And if that's you this morning, you're here and you've been far from God, you've drifted from God, maybe you're a prodigal son or daughter, or maybe you've just kind of been going about your own way. You're here today not by accident. You're here today because a good Father who loves you too so much and loves you too much to leave you where you're at today is calling you back home. He's calling you back home. And He's longing to express and to extend that forgiveness. He's longing to take that weight and that guilt and that shame from upon your shoulders. If that's you this morning, come on, I just want to know who we're about to pray with. Just lift your hand. Don't wait. Just lift your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor T. That's me. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. And your hand going up today is just a sign, it's an outward sign of the inward work that God's doing in your heart. And we pray this together with you. We pray this for a couple reasons. We pray it to along with you to express to you that we're a spiritual family, that we're going to come alongside you to walk this thing out, to strengthen you in your faith. And it also reminds us that we need Jesus today as much as we ever have. So come on, church, let's pray this together. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a fresh start and a new life. I give you that life, and I'll never be the same. Come on, church, say it. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, can we put our hands together for those individuals who responded this morning? Come on, team, lead us.